7. Nearly perfect societies. The Nordic countries have for a while now topped the charts that focus on how well societies function. In his book, The Almost Nearly Perfect People, Michael Booth, a British journalist now living in Denmark, takes a critical view of the so-called Nordic miracle.
Occasionally, New Zealand or Japan might elbow their way into the picture, or perhaps Singapore or Switzerland. But overall, the message from all of these reports, which continue to be enthusiastically and unquestioningly reported in the media, was as clear as a glass of ice-cold schnapps. The Scandinavians were not only the happiest and most contented people in the world, but also the most peaceful, tolerant, egalitarian, progressive, prosperous, modern, liberal, liberated, best educated, and most technologically advanced, with the best pop music, coolest TV detectives, and the best restaurants to boot. Between them, these five countries, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Finland, and Iceland, could boast the best education system in the world, Finland, a shining example of a properly secular, multicultural, modern industrial society, Sweden, colossal oil wealth, being invested in sensible, ethical, long-term things rather than silly tall buildings or high-class call girls, Norway, the most gender-equal society in the world, the longest-living men, and lots of haddock, Iceland, and ambitious environmental policies and generously funded welfare state systems, all of them. The consensus was overwhelming. If you wanted to know where to look for the definitive model of how to live a fulfilled, happy, well-balanced, healthy, and enlightened life, you should turn your gaze north of Germany and just to the left of Russia. I did more than that. After some years of watching the Danish happiness bandwagon roll relentlessly on from a distance, interspersed with regular visits that, if anything, only served to confuse me more, weather still shitty, check. Tax rate still over 50%? Yep. Shops closed whenever you need them? Oh, yes. I moved back there. This wasn't some magnanimous gesture of forgiveness, nor a bold experiment to test the boundaries of human endurance. My wife wanted to move back to her homeland, and despite every molecule of my being screaming, "Don't you remember what it was actually like to live there, Michael?" I have learned from harrowing experience over the years that it is usually best in the long run if I just do what she says. In fact, the fever for all things Nordic only intensified around the world after I returned to live there. Contemporary Viking culture was, and remains, on an unprecedented roll. Swedish crime authors Henning Mankell and Stieg Larsson began to sell millions of books, and Danmarks Radio, DR, the Danish national broadcaster, sold its stylish dramas to 120 countries in all. Danish architects continued to knock out major international projects as if they were made out of Lego blocks, and works by artists like Olafur Eliasson were appearing everywhere from Louis Vuitton window displays to MoMA. A former Danish Prime Minister, Anders Fogh Rasmussen, was recently replaced as head of NATO by another Scandinavian ex-PM, Norway's Jens Stoltenberg, and a former Finnish president, Martti Ahtisaari, won the Nobel Peace Prize. Elsewhere in the region, Finland gave us Angry Birds and, for a while at least, mobile phones that took up permanent residence in everyone's inside breast pocket. Meanwhile, Sweden continued its domination of the world's high streets with H&M and IKEA, and of our airwaves with pop producers, of Britney Spears, Katy Perry and others, and singers too numerous to list here, as well as giving us Skype and Spotify. Norway kept the world supplied with oil and fish fingers, and the Icelanders embarked on their extraordinary, albeit also catastrophic, fiscal buccaneering spree. No matter where I turned for my news, I could not escape the, Iceland aside, almost exclusively adulatory coverage of all things Scandinavian. If our newspapers, TV and radio were to be believed, the Nordic countries simply could not put a foot wrong. These were the promised lands of equality, easy living, quality of life, and home baking. But I had seen a different side actually living up here in the cold, grey north and, though there were many aspects to Scandinavian living that were indeed exemplary, and from which the rest of the world could learn a great deal, I grew increasingly frustrated by the lack of nuance in the picture being painted of the region. One thing in particular about this newfound love of all things Scandinavian, be it their freeform schools, whitewashed interior design, consensus-driven political systems, or chunky sweaters, struck me as particularly odd. Considering all this positive PR, and with awareness of the so-called Nordic miracle at an all-time high, why wasn't everyone flocking to live here? Why did people still dream of a house in Spain or France? Why weren't they packing up their mules and heading for Aalborg or Trondheim? For all the crime literature and TV shows, why was our knowledge of contemporary Scandinavia still so abysmally lacking? How come you have no idea where Aalborg or Trondheim actually are? Why can no one you know speak Swedish or get by in Norwegian? Name the Danish foreign minister, or Norway's most popular comedian, or a Finnish person, any Finnish person.